this week's Parsha, we find the wife of Potiphar working on Yosef, trying to get him to be with her. She says, "Vayiva achar adram ha'ela v'tisa eshes adonav es eneha el Yosef, v'tomer shichva imi." She said to him, "Sleep with me." V'yimain, and he rejected, he held back. And the shalshalas there was work. He was fighting a battle. And she continues to work on him. She worked at him day after day. And then one day came, she grabbed him by his garments, lemor shichva imi. He left his garment in her hand and he ran outside. The Gra focuses on the change in the word. Originally, when she said to Yosef, "Sleep with me," it says, "Vatomer," she said, "Sleep with me." A few psukim later, it says, she grabbed him by his garments to say, "Sleep with me." And the Gra explains the following, and listen carefully. The Gra said, she gave up and she realized that he wasn't going to agree to be with her. So now what she was trying to get Yosef to do was just to say the words, "Sleep with me." That's the pshat in the pasuk. It says, she grabbed him by his garments, v'titpaseo bevigdo lemor, that he should say the words, "Shichva imi." That's, she grabs him, "I'll let you go if you just say those words." What was the goal of Ashes Potiphar in wanting Yosef to say those words? The Gra explains that Ashes Potiphar understood the nature of man. And that is that the way that he speaks and the words that he uses and the things that he talks about has an effect on him. And she knew that he has too strong of a fence up, too strong of a wall up. So if I get him just to say the words, "Sleep with me," then I've lowered an important fence and I'm step closer to getting him to do the act together with me. We know that our words are a reflection of what we're thinking, of what we're feeling, and it's a way that we express ourselves. And you could read into the words that somebody says and learn a lot about them. But there's something else the Gra says in Mishle, based on almost shot in the Pasuk, that it really goes in both directions. Not only is your mouth the way that you express what's in your heart, but your what you say, what comes out of your mouth, also affects your heart. It goes in both directions. The pasuk in Mishle, Perek Tetzayin, says, "Lev chacham yaskil pihu." The heart of a chacham will make his mouth wise. He'll say wise things because of his chachma. Va'asvasav, and the Gra explains, and he keeps the chachma on his lips. Then Yosef lekach, he'll have more lekach, he'll have more wisdom and more understanding. Meaning, what's on your lips, what's on your mouth, affects you also in the opposite direction, and makes you wiser or closer to znus, if that's what it is that you're talking about. There's a frightening Gemara in Shabbos, and you have to understand that most of our values are much more affected by the world around us and by the Goyim than it is by the Torah. We're raised where the world has a stronger effect on us. The opinions of the world, the way the world behaves, how they look at things, we're much more affected by, much more exposed to, than we are by the Torah's values of things. So sometimes Chazal could say things that seem like a shock to us, like a smack in the face, so not what we're used to, but that's coming from how deeply entrenched in Golus that we are. And sometimes we see Chazal, they open our eyes to see the true value of things. It says in the Gemara in Shabbos, "Ba'avo nivlus peh," because of the sin of speaking nivl peh, speaking dirty, cursing, talking about znus, "Tsaros rabos ugzeros kashos mischadshos." Terrible tragedies and terrible decrees are anewed in the world. There's more of them. "Ubachure sorini Yisrael metim, yisomim va'amanos tsorakim, ve'ena ne'anim." Young Jews, God forbid, die. Orphans and almanas, who usually Kadosh Baruch Hu has extra mercy for, they scream and they're unanswered. Meaning, speaking inappropriately and dirty endangers the entire world, endangers the Jewish people, even those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu usually loves the most and cares the most about. The Gemara continues and it says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chista, Kala Menabel Es Piv, Ma'amikin Lo Gehenim. Anybody that speaks dirty, they have to make Gehenim deeper for him. It's not deep enough. And one more, if that wasn't enough. So it says, everybody knows what the Chasan and Kala are going to do the night of the wedding, but anybody that dirties his mouth and refers to it, so even if there was a Gzar Din for good for 70 years on him, that he would have 70 years of good, the whole thing could be flipped around for the bad, since that's the way that he spoke. Why is it that it's so shockingly serious, the words that we use and the things that we speak about? Where does it come from, this importance that Chazal put to it? And by the way, it's not just for the negative. It's also for the positive. And we'll focus more on that at the end of the Shmuz. But there's a Gemara in Erevin that says, it points out how the effect of Torah learning that it has on a person is when it comes out of your mouth. Ki chayim heim lemotz ehem, that Torah brings life, eternal life, this world life, to those that find him. So the Gemara says, Atikre motzeihem ela motzeihem bepeh. Those that have the words of Torah leave their mouth. We know we say every single morning in Birchas HaTorah, we say, V'harav na Hashem lakeinu es divrei torascha befinu. Make the Torah sweet in our mouth. There's a strong connection between the effect of Torah on us and specifically coming out from our mouth. That when you verbalize something, it has more of a real effect on you, more of a change, it changes you in a more real way. So why is it that it's this powerful? So I think that, just a little bit touch upon the idea. So we see that when Adam was created, so it says, V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, v'hiya Adam le'nefesh chaya. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a neshama into man, he became a nefesh chaya, and there's a famous uklus that says, V'havad ba'adam l'ruach mamalala. Man became a speaking spirit. In other words, what's the defining feature of man compared to an animal is that man's high level of ability to communicate and converse and speak things out in a much more deep and intellectual and specific way with other people separates man in a very real way from animals. That if when we take a defining feature of what we are, who we are, the essence of our creation, and we use that to talk like an animal would, and to talk about things that an animal would do, so we're really dehumanizing ourselves when we do that. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that's talking about the purpose of man in this world. And he quotes a pasuk a few psukim later in Mishlei from the one that we quoted, that the pasuk says, "Nefesh amel amla lo ki akaf alav pihu," and the Gemara explains that over here we're seeing in this pasuk in Mishlei very much what the job of man here was in this world. That it's that the amel of man is meant to be with his mouth, and the Gemara goes on to ask, what is his mouth toiling with?" And it brings the pasuk from Yeshua, "V'hagita bo yomam v'lada," that you speak in Torah day and night. So here in this Gemara that's talking about why man was created, Adam la amel yula, man was created to put an effort and to work. The Gemara then directs you, where is that work? It's on your mouth. And then what is it that your mouth is talking about? It's talking about Torah. So we see also here too, that when it's talking about what's the job of man in this world, it's connected to the mouth. And when we take the main tool of our being a man and what we're given in order to fulfill our purpose, and we destroy it, and we ruin it, and we embarrass it, and we dirty it, we defile it. So we're getting at the very core of why we're here in this world and what our job is. We were all mistreated. We were all abused. We were all brainwashed by what we saw in television, what we saw in movies, and what we heard around us, what we read on the internet, when we read the way they speak, the books that maybe we read, the topics they talk about, and how they refer to them. And it corrupted our mind and our speech and made us talk not Jewish. We don't speak the way Jews speak anymore. That's never, if you would look back at an original Jew from 100 years ago and back, No one would ever talk the way that we'll hear a lot of Jews speaking nowadays. And to understand that that's not one of the midas of a Jew, that's not how we talk, and that goes very much against what we believe is the very purpose of our being here in this world. The Sefer Hasidim says, it's not about Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim is from Yehuda HaChassid, and before the whole idea of Hasidus even started, he says in Sefer Hasidim that when man is created, when we're born, there's a decree in Shemayim how many words you are going to say. And then a malach follows you around wherever you go your whole life and writes down every word that leaves your mouth. When we come to Shemayim, one of the things we're judged on is we're shown all of those words and what they were used for, and judge on every single word and every single phrase. And when we finish the quota of how many words we were decreed to be able to speak in our lifetime, that's when a person is nifter, passes away. And therefore, it's a very important thing to keep that in mind when we use our words, not to waste them because we're wearing away our life with the sentences that we say. I thought maybe that's pshat. People sometimes don't understand. I don't understand either. A few years ago, I think after Rav Yashiv was nifter, so Chaim Kanievsky, when he gives brachos, so when he stopped saying bracha v'atzlacha, and he started to say the Rashi Tevos buha. He said buha, the Rashi Tevos a bracha v'atzlacha. And it created a whole tumult. People laugh, here you have somebody who's more brilliant than you'll ever know, and more holy than you'll ever know, and so careful with his words. Why is he saying this funny word? Buha, Rashi Tevos, just say the two words. So I thought maybe the pshat is, he himself quotes the Sefer Hasidim, so if anyway the Rashi Tevos is the same meaning as the words, and the bracha still takes effect, and I heard he even said this to the people from Hatzalah that came, when they came to try to keep his wife, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, alive, he said to them, buha also, it's not just to us, and the Rashi Tevos, if they're just as effective as the words themselves, so he's saving himself to be able to have more and more words of Torah to learn and to say in his lifetime. Maybe that's pshat in what he's doing. That's just a side point that I wanted to say. The Gra says, now we can understand this in light of this, in the letter of the Gra that he writes his family when he thought he wasn't going to see them anymore. He was trying to go to Eretz Yisrael. He never made it. So one of the things that he says, he quotes a Gemara in Chulin, that what is the profession of man in this world, he asks. The Gemara asks, Ma umnuso shel adam ba'olam haza, what's man's job? What's one of the main focuses we have to have on the top of our head throughout our lifetime? Yosim atzmo ki'ilim, to make himself like a mute, like Rabbi Yudin did last week. V'yadvik sifsosav k'shtei rechayim, and to have our lips stick together like the two heavy, heavy stones of a mill, of a grinding mill. And that's a profession. Why? What's a profession? Profession takes over a lot of your concentration. It's always in the top of your head. Why? Because naturally, human beings, we just talk. We just say what we want to say. We don't have a filter necessarily. But it's a big job. Your words count. Your words are a passage of time. It's a passing of your life. Your words make a difference and they have an effect. So a person has to really think before the things that he says. And I think for us, I don't know if we're yet on the level that we're going to filter every sentence and every phrase. I think we could first start with just not cursing and not talking about dirty topics and znus and lashon hara. That already gives us a lot to work with so far. But definitely to make it a focus. That a lot of things we learn in yeshiva to try to appreciate learning. We try to appreciate davening. Another one of the many things we work on in yeshiva is also to refocus on how to use our mouth, on how to speak, on what a Jewish way to speak is and what a Goyish way to speak is. And we have to train ourselves to get rid of all the brainwashing that was done to us and all the negative behaviors that we learned, and to rid ourselves and clean ourselves of them, and to start to speak in a more pure way. The Chidah tells us an idea that it comes up in the Gemara also, but he connects it to a specific pasuk. The Gemara says, Tzaddik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. A Tzaddik speaks, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what the Tzaddik says. The Chidah connects that to a pasuk in Bemidbar that says, Lo yachel devaro k'kol ha'yotzi mipiv ya'aseh. And not explaining the pshat of the pasuk, but saying a hint that's hinted to over here is that somebody that doesn't profane his speech, And the Chida explains, he only speaks the truth. He never lies. He never speaks Lashon Hara. He only speaks things that are right and good and appropriate, like the big tzaddikim. If somebody is lo yachel devaro, then kakola yotzi mipiv ya'aseh. Whatever comes out of his mouth, that's what's going to happen. I'll give you a few examples of how far-reaching that is. The Gemara gives examples. I'll give you more recent examples. I told my shir last year, the guys in my shir last year remember the story, there's something that happened with Rav Chaim Kanievsky that a few years ago when he was in the hospital, so somebody came to visit him. He said he wanted to tell Rav Chaim a story that maybe would make him happy. So they came to Rav Chaim. He said, 13 years ago, I came to the Rav for a bracha that I should have a child. And we had a girl. And then I came back to the Rav and I asked for a bracha for a boy. So then the Rav asked me, Rav Chaim asked me, he said, how many kids do you have at home? He said, we have one girl. So then Rav Chaim laughed. After one girl, you asked for a bracha for a boy. After 10 girls, you asked for a bracha for a boy. I'm coming back now after having 10 girls. We just gave birth to our 11th child, a boy. He was joking. He was laughing. He didn't mean necessarily to say something that would be effective on having 10 girls and then a boy. But somebody that's so careful with how he speaks, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes his words, and that's what happens. It was a guy that learned in Torah Traga, Aryeh Dauber. He's from Chicago. You know the Dauber family. He's a triplet. His mother went to the Satmar Rebbe at one point before being pregnant to ask for a bracha that she should have more children. It was late at night, and the Satmar Rebbe was starting to fall asleep. And as he was dozing, he said, you should have a boy. You should have a boy. You should have a boy. And she had triplet boys 9 months later. Yeah. There's a crazy story. I mean, there's so many of these. But this is another one that, this is all to warm you up for this one, that with the Chazon Ish, and that this is what Ben Zion Feldman would say over. He himself was a big gadol. And he said the following thing happened in Bnei Brak just a few decades ago when the Chazon Ish was alive. There was a family that was from Hungary that was very, very close to the Chazon Ish. Whatever he would tell them, they would do. They asked him all their halakhic shailas, advice in their family, hadrach in their family. Everything they did by the Chazon Ish. One day, Erev Shabbos, a very short time before candle lighting, a water pipe in their house burst. And their house started to fill with water and was flooding and ruining things. And they weren't able to turn off the main water supply. And it was doing damage. And it was too close to Shabbos. They couldn't call in now. What do you call that guy? A plumber. They couldn't call in a plumber, installator or a plumber, to come in and fix the water. It was too close to candle lighting. He didn't know what to do. So in a moment of panic, he did what was on the top of his head. He ran to the Chazon Ish's house and he started to cry to the Chazon Ish. And he told them the whole story. The water pipe broke, and my house is filling up with water, and we can't get a plumber right now. So the Chazon Ish looked at him and said, "What do you want me to do?" So he said with complete like kindness, "I want the Chazon Ish to say that the water should stop flowing through my pipes." So the Chazon Ish said, "The water should stop flowing through your pipes." And he went home, and the water stopped flowing through his pipes. After Shabbos, when he brought in a plumber, they couldn't get the water to come. He ran back to the Chazon Ish, and he told them what happened. He said, "So what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want the Chazon Ish to say that water should start flowing back through your pipes." He said, "Water should start flowing back through your pipes." And then the water came back. The man was still alive to tell the story, just as maybe even till today. I don't want to say anything. But the way that a person speaks has a big effect. Rav Elchanan Wasserman explains, there's a Gemara in Ksuvis where Rabbi Yanai is talking about his son-in-law, that his son-in-law didn't come home by a certain time that he usually comes home, so he said he must have died. He hadn't died, but the Gemara says that it's like a mistake coming out of the mouth of a controller, somebody that's like a leader, and it had an effect, and then he died. He didn't mean it. He didn't want his son-in-law to die. He just thought he must have died, and his words had that effect. Rav Elchanan says, you see that the mouth of a person, a tongue, is like a knife. It cuts, it slices, and it has an effect. And the only reason why our speech doesn't have as powerful an effect as the tzaddikim's do is because we've ruined it, we've defiled it, we've spoken Lashon Hara, we've spoken wasted words, we've spoken dirty, etc. And to bring back the power of our mouth, which will also affect our tefillos and our power to give bracha and everything good, we need to start to clean up our mouth and to speak like a Jew and not to hurt ourselves, not to endanger the world, The way that we save ourselves at time of danger like now, the Arabs are declaring day of rage, so we declare we're going to start to work on our speech. I don't think it's by chance that one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva had to be quiet for a week and not talk. I think it was for us to be able to witness that and see that and then to learn from it and take it to heart, that we should also start to really think before the things that we say and be very careful with the way that we speak. It's not a small deal.
Norman, if we can just quickly go upstairs because he's waiting for us to Rabbi David's classroom. Quickly go upstairs to Rabbi David's classroom. Thank you.